Everything works as two levels. Sometimes we know we've got something that's not linear. There's some third level that we were interested in. So we may have three or four or even more levels depending on what we're dealing with. For example, what happens if I have three viable vendors providing a component that would fit into our experiment and everything else is only at two levels? What do I do then? Well, one way is to adjust the array in order to deal with that third level for one of the factors. And so this is an algorithm to set it up so that I have four levels for one of my factors using an L8 array. And we'll then condense this down to have three levels. So the steps to get to three or four levels are exactly the same. You start with creating four levels for one of your factors, and then you reduce that to three. And we'll show that step a little bit later. So basically, this is a simple process to add a factor with four levels to an L8 array. Now, it's going to take up a number of our columns in order to make that happen. But it's a way to deal with a combination of two levels or four levels, and later we'll show three levels. So the first step is to take three interacting columns. And by interacting, it's where they've got a point between them. So 1, 2, and 3, as circled here, is 1 and 2 interact and show up in point 3. So that's the interacting columns. 1, 2, and 3 have an interaction term. 1, 2 interact and show up in 3 is what that means. All right, so we're going to work with columns 1, 2, and 3. So we take a part of our array showing the 8 different runs for our L8 experiment we're setting up. And we've got columns 1, 2, and 3 here. So we take just the first two columns. It doesn't have to be. You could use columns 1 and 3 or 2 and 3. But by convenience here, we'll just use 1 and 2. And notice the pattern that's there. 1, 1, run 2 is 1, 1, run 3 is 1, 2, then 1, 2, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 2, 2, 2. There are four unique patterns there. All right, so that allows us then to assign a number to each one of those patterns. All right, so we're going to assign in column 3, 1, 1 for that. Column 1 and 2 are identical. They both have level 1 in both columns 1 and 2. And then we'll jump down to number 5. It's the third unique pattern, level 2, then level 1 in column 1 and column 2, respectively. So we'll call that 3, and so on. So you can see we've got four unique settings here based on the combinations of columns 1 and 2. So that becomes, we collapse those three columns into one column, and it now has four factors. So we're going to lose two columns, but we gain the ability to have one of our factors have four levels. That's pretty slick. It's pretty simple. So then we reset our recipe, basically, so that in this case, we pushed it over to column 2 to give it a little space. But notice that it has four different levels, levels 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then columns 4, 5, and 6, or 4, 5, 6, and 7 each have two levels. So in one way to denote this particular array, the one that we've modified, is that we have four factors that have two levels, and we have one factor at four levels. We're still running in eight runs in an L4 array, but we've modified the array to account for the one factor that has four different levels. All right? Pretty simple. This takes stepping through it one time and work out, see the pattern, and you can do this with pretty much any array that you're dealing with. Then we assign, well, obviously we're going to assign the factor that has four levels here to column 2 and go on and do the assignments to the other columns as appropriate. right? But if we want to have just three levels, we really don't have four levels. Unfortunately, we still lose the ability to populate two of our columns because we start exactly the same. But the only real difference is that where we have the fourth level for that one factor, we just change those to threes. So it's same exact process of creating four levels, but instead of a four, we have three in here. That allows the analysis to still work out. It's just that we lose the same amount of columns. We lose two columns, essentially. But here we've got three levels for this one factor. Pretty straightforward. So what we've been talking about is Taguchi's method, and he uses the signal-to-noise ratio and those response charts to show the basic responses in setting up these experiments. The L4 and L8, which we showed examples of, are just two of many different Taguchi arrays that are available, but they allow us to primarily look at main effects. We can look at interaction terms or witness the effects of confounding if we don't account for them or set aside space for them. We can adjust the arrays to deal with three factors or four factors and basically a two-factor array, and it allows us to have some flexibility. The primary benefit of Taguchi's approach is that it's pretty straightforward and simple. That once that I mentioned the F table or ANOVA or other statistical methods. Underlying it, though, are essentially the same statistics. It's just that he simplified it and uses terminology that's more familiar to engineering world, signal-to-noise ratio, for example, instead of statistical significance. So it's a slightly different approach. It's a subset of what's possible with classical design of experiments, and it allows us to get the vast majority of the experimental work we want done through a pretty practical approach to design of experiments. I think that's why his approaches have become popular. Next, we'll talk about some of the different classical ways to do design of experiments and some of the different approaches and types of arrays that are possible. Now, there's way more possibilities available, and there's other references that you can dive into and spend a significant amount of time learning and mastering. For our purposes, we'll just do a quick introduction.